Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi everyone.
Okay, well, truth be told, I am not here with Allison. this is the first time we're recording apart.
It's so sad. I miss you. It's like lonely over in a little studio.
I know. And we're worried about our bandwidth, so we can't even like turn on something to see each other's faces.
So we're just staring off into the abyss recording. Yeah. It's very odd. It's a little disconcerting.
I know. But the East Coast weather is not cooperating. It's, and so
bananas.
We needed to record, so we are making this work. I'm in a closet with my computer and my microphone and my beer, because you know I can't make a drink to save my life. And if you're not making it for me, I'm just getting a beer.
Yeah, that was part of it, is that like I usually make the cocktails. So I guess this time we are resorting to drinking beer. So what is it that you're drinking?
I have a New Belgium Citradelic, and I'm currently on a complete New Belgium kick because so far they can do no wrong. Everything I have tried, I've been so amazed with. So I keep like hinting to Bill, I want to take a little trip so we can head down to the official brewery so I can taste them all.
Which is where? Where is New Belgium?
I think it's in Asheville. Which, Yeah, which Bill's brother lives in Asheville, so it'll give me another reason to go.
A little beer pilgrimage. Yeah, that's one of our favorite things, is going to breweries. On our honeymoon, we actually went to the 21st Amendment in San Francisco. Like, we made a stop in San Francisco to go to this brewery. And so, if you need some people to tag along, you know you've got us.
Done.
So, I am having a Trogues, the Blizzard of Hops. So they have a seasonal IPA, and their winter IPA is called Blizzard of Hops. And it's, I think it's like 6.4 ABV, so it's not too heavy. And it's nice and unfiltered and cloudy and delicious. But the best part is it's draft. So I don't know. You haven't been over here in a while, but my husband made an old fridge into a kegerator. So now we have beer on tap. So we've got one that we get, that's usually a local beer. And then, of course, his beer, because he brews beer, we have on the second tap. So
why am I not over there right now?
You know, go ahead, be jealous. But maybe we have to get a New Belgium on tap, and that will be your impetus to come see us.
Done.
So what are we talking about?
So I thought it might be fun, since we're right at the beginning of the year, to maybe talk about some health trends that we're seeing coming in 2018. And one of my favorite things, as you know, is to kind of like surprise you with things and get your real reaction, because I think there's definitely things here that are kind of on the I don't know about this kind of side.
So, and if there are I don't know about this for you, what will they be for me?
That's a fair point. That's a really fair point. So I have them in three categories, actually four categories. So foods, I have them mind and body. I have a category for beauty, and then, of course, cocktails.
Oh, nice. I can add to that one.
I bet you can. More so than me. More so than my researchers. Because that one I had to go and search. So cool. Let's get into it. So food, right? So the biggest thing that I've been hearing about a ton is spices. So I think, you know, like turmeric was like the thing this year. It was everywhere. Mm-hmm. People are like brushing their teeth with it. It's like a huge staple in cooking, and there's all these like medicinal benefits to it. So that one's gonna continue to be big, because it, you know, people are using it for inflammation. People are using it to reduce cholesterol.
God we did a turmeric margarita, right? So if people need something, to just go check that out.
You know what's funny is I thought about it and I was like, oh, Allison's like totally with the times that she made that drink with the turmeric.
I'm cooler than you think I am, Larissa.
Now I know.
I'm not.
So turmeric's going to continue to be really big. Cinnamon's going to get bigger because, I don't know, like, do you feel like cinnamon is like a hot spice?
I guess it depends. So I know for all of those holiday spices that you don't like nutmeg, cinnamon, like that's in everything. It's in all of those, anything pumpkin spice has cinnamon in it, and then anything holiday spice has cinnamon in it. But from like a medicinal perspective, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, great if it is. I put it in my coffee. So
that's so funny. That's like the thing that I read about that people are starting to do. So cinnamon actually is great for lowering your blood sugar. And so people are trying to get like a dose of it every day.
And then, so a quick hint that I learned from my friend, put it in the grounds. Don't put it in your actual coffee.
Oh, so you like brew it.
Mm-hmm. So that's you cool. Just like sprinkle it over the top of the grounds before you brew. And then your coffee will just have like a nice cinnamon flavor without that grittiness that you can get from putting spice in your coffee. It's really good.
Interesting. Huh. And the other one I wanted to mention, I think is still big and will continue to be big, is cumin. And I feel like I sort of discovered that spice this year or last year, I guess. We got like more creative with our cooking because we were eating a little bit differently. And so now I feel like it's in all my recipes, like down to like sprinkling a little bit of like it on guacamole or like just anywhere we can find it. And I've been reading a ton about how it lowers cholesterol levels, which is great.
That's it. We cook with, all right. So now is it cumin or cumin?
Oh, I say cumin.
And I say cumin. All right. So we'll have to figure out which one's correct because now I feel silly. But, we make and eat a lot of Indian food. And cumin is one of the main spices in Indian food. So I eat that a lot. So ahead of the trend. God, maybe this whole episode will be about how I'm cool and had no idea.
I mean, clearly, if you want to make it about yourself, we could.
I do. I do so much.
But so I bring up spices and I say these couple of ones that are kind of have gotten a good rep for health benefits, and they're going to continue to in 2018. People are going to find new creative ways to use them. But a big one that you're going to start to hear about this year, and I'm curious if you've heard about it, is moringa. Have you heard of moringa?
Moringa? No. What is that?
Yeah. Isn't it fun to say?
It is. It almost sounds like meringue, but moringa.
Moringa. So moringa is a tree, and I think historically and like even today, it's used a ton in countries like Chile and Africa and India. And basically the leaves of the tree are ground up or, you know, just used in cooking and in other medicinal ways. But the cool thing I read about it is it's got twice the protein as spinach and three times the iron. Which is like,
wait, so it's like a green leafy vegetable?
Yes. I don't know if you consider it a vegetable, but it's a leaf, right? It's a leaf on a tree. And I think we're going to see it everywhere. I think we're going to see it in like shakes, like the same way you'd throw in your spinach leaves. I think you're going to see it in protein bars and kombuchas. I'm starting to see moringa oil, like for beauty.
Ooh. Yeah. Moringa.
Moringa. So I
can't
think,
even
like,
say I've seen it at the grocery store or anything.
I think you might have to. I'm. You know what? It's funny. I should, next time I go to like a Wegmans or a Whole Foods, I'll check out and see if they have it. But like, if you go to Amazon right now and like look up moringa, you'll be able to find it in a powder form. You'll be able to find it in a pill. You'll be able to find the oil for your face. It's kind of almost just like being discovered here.
Very cool.
Where it's been like. All right, so that's what. So spices was my first one. So you're going to continue to see them all over. The next one is, and tell me if you've ever heard of this, is the low FODMAP diet.
Low FODMAP?
Yeah, so it's an acronym, FODMAP. Have you heard of that?
FODMAP. No, but I'm trying to figure out what it is before you tell me. I don't think I can.
There's no way. Because I can barely pronounce it. So I actually saw this last year. And then I kind of didn't hear much about it. And I think it's slowly starting to gain momentum. And I think it's going to be big this year. So basically, the diet is all about, and I'll tell you what this acronym is. It's ridiculous. But But the diet focuses on like molecules that are found in food that people have trouble absorbing. So the biggest grouping of people who are trying low FODMAP diet is people with IBS. But, you know, people with tons of allergies may also go this route as well in terms of like eliminating foods and figuring out what might be causing their discomfort. So what it stands for, bear with me. And the names are like ridiculous. So I wrote down to tell you like exactly the types of foods that fall into these categories. So F is for fermentable.
Okay.
And so it's fermentable oligosaccharides, which are like barley, legumes, lentils, things like that. And then even things like garlic, onion, like very, very common basic things. Disaccharides, which is like anything with lactose. So like milk, yogurt, cheese, all that stuff we love. Monosaccharides, which are like high fructose corn syrup, honey, apples, like fruits mostly that have like a ton of sugar content.
Wait, just to clarify, these are things that you're eating or you're avoiding?
These are things that you're avoiding. So
interesting.
Yeah. And then polyols is the P, and that's sugar alcohols. So like sugar alcohols, it's an interesting one. Like they're present naturally in fruit, but what happens is people use them a ton. They manufacture them in a way to use them as artificial sweeteners. So like you'll see them on a box, like they'll be labeled like sorbitol or mannitol, or like anything that's like sugar free will usually have like a sugar alcohol added to it. And so people have a ton of trouble digesting that. So, and the low FODMAP diet is basically like taking all of that out. I'll walk you through it really quickly, but the focus is more on like veggies, fish, like healthy fruit, healthy fats, like nuts and things like that. But what it does is it's not a diet where you get rid of it all, hence the low FODMAP. It's more about figuring out what it is and then managing to that. So it has kind of a process to it. So the elimination piece is the first part of it. So some period of time, I think what I read was like 3 to 8 weeks, you eliminate everything that is in this FODMAP grouping. So these, you know, barleys and legumes and milks and honeys and everything, you eliminate it all for some amount of time. And then you reintroduce it one at a time, like very similar, I feel like, to when you're giving your baby new foods.
Yeah.
And you give it to them or you give it to yourself, and you wait and see how you feel. And if you're like, nope, I still feel great, as if I, you know, as I did before when none of this stuff was in my system. So you mark that down as a food that's not bothersome to you, and you slowly reintroduce everything till you figure out what it is. And then the last part of it is basically the maintenance, which is knowing exactly what's bothersome to your system and adjusting your dietary lifestyle to accommodate it. So
it sounds a lot like a typical elimination diet for somebody who's trying to figure out what's bothering them. So I think we talked about this like way back when, but like if you probably don't have an allergy, but if you have like an intolerance to something, you remove it from your diet and you bring it back in. Or if like you're not sure what you're intolerant to, you add, or you take everything out and you slowly add it back in. But it sounds really similar to that. And the other thing that kind of struck me was like the focus on vegetables and like healthy, I think you said healthy fats and like fish and like lean meats and stuff like that. I feel like so many diets, no matter what else they're saying and like what other little nuance there are to them, that's the basis of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, no, it really does. And actually, my husband just the other day said to me, he was reading something that said, like, the Mediterranean diet is officially, you know, considered now the healthiest diet and the most popular diet. And it's literally the basis of the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, like, logical.
So I think if you hear low FODMAP, you'll definitely not remember any of those acronyms, and I'm sure I butchered them all, but it's essentially like taking out everything that could possibly be bothering your system and then slowly bringing it back in and trying to figure out what's up with you.
Makes sense.
Okay, so the next one, I'm going to mispronounce it, and then you're going to be grossed out, so just prepare yourself. So I think it's pronounced entomophagy.
Bugs. Is it bugs?
It's bugs.
I just know that ento. what is that called? Not a prefix. Beginning of the word is called, but ento. Ento, because entomology is the studying of bugs.
Yeah. And entomophagy is consuming them.
Oh, God.
So we're talking caterpillars, grasshoppers, ants, spiders, termites.
Spiders?
As a protein staple.
No. I have heard it's like the most pure protein and it's sustainable.
It's totally
so gross.
I think it's just like, I am grossed out by it too, but it's a little bit of like a mind shift. Because, you know, as I started reading articles about it, there were so many articles that I came across that were like, are bugs the answer to our food crisis?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they might be, right? Like, you could get them anywhere. As long as you're sourcing something that's not poisonous, it's everywhere.
Larissa, I don't want to eat bugs. I can't get on board.
Do you know, it's actually interesting. One thing I read is, and I think this is years back now and it still exists, is the EU actually gives financial incentives to member states if they're promoting the use of insects in cooking.
Because it's so sustainable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's
gross,
really cool.
But it's neat.
I know. And so like, I know I've definitely seen on Shark Tank, people are coming in and they have like, you know, caterpillars you can eat, or people have been making like protein bars and they're really not catching on. But I think we're going to start to see more of it. I actually saw that there is a company that's looking at making like an insect protein like cutlet. So it looks like a piece of chicken, but it's totally bugs.
Nobody's going to eat that. Come on.
I mean,
like, I could see like protein powder or like protein bars where it's ground up, but like, oh my God, making it look like a chicken cutlet? No.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm almost more grossed out about like, don't make it look like something else. Just like, let me know that I'm eating a bug, and if I can handle it, I'll handle it. But I don't know.
Do you remember like growing up, you go to a store and they'd have those lollipops that had like worms,
the bug,
or caterpillars, yes, or something in it? I remember that being such a novelty, and I still couldn't do it.
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
Have you ever had a tequila worm?
No.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, more in like really bad tequila or mezcal, but
I think Bill just had one this past year when we went to his brother's wedding in Mexico. I think that the bartender like sliced one up and gave each of the brothers one. So
he was enjoying his evening.
That he was. But you know what else was interesting? And I forgot about this, but do you remember a couple of years back that Starbucks was coloring their strawberry frappuccino with bugs? Do you remember that?
But why would they color it with bugs instead of strawberries?
Well, so
strawberries are red.
Listen, that is a very different story, but they were they were trying to get rid of some of their artificial coloring, and so there's these like specific beetles that when you smush them up, they're super pink or red or whatever, and so that they were using them, and they're totally safe to eat. So they were like trying to do something good with the artificial color, but then it backfired because A, people were like, ew. But B, there was like a huge uproar from the vegan community.
Were they transparent about it?
Yeah. Yeah. But so it didn't take off with many people. People were either like mad about it from an animal perspective or disgusted about it from the animal perspective.
I could see that not really going over well.
Right.
I didn't think that one through, I don't think. Somebody from PR wasn't sure how to handle that.
Exactly. So,
how do you say it?
Entomophagy, I believe.
Entomophagy, okay. All right. entomophagy. I don't think I'm 100% against it. We'll see where it goes.
What if we get you like a protein bar from the internet?
I'd try it. I think I'd try it.
See, like, I think I could have it if it was, I don't know, ground up and put into something. I think I can get over that. I think it's more about, like, am I going to eat some, like, roasted crickets? Probably not.
No. I'm not going to fry up some crickets and serve it with, like, a tempanade. But I think a protein powder or bar I could get on board with.
Yeah. Like, I think if it was in a state that wasn't, like, so, like, it's looking at me, like, I could do it. All right. So those are my food ones. The next category is around mind and body. And the first one on my list is interesting because I was reading these off to my husband, and this first one, he was like, no, this is so stupid and no one's going to do this. So I'm so curious now. But it's all about destinations to disconnect. So like vacation spots that purposely don't have Wi-Fi, that like brag about not having Wi-Fi. Like restaurants and cafes that don't let people have phones. There's actually a hotel in Vegas that has like a quote unquote digital wellness escape, and they take your phone from you. And you do a whole bunch of like mind body connection things, but you have no access to TV. You have no access to internet. You don't have access to your phone, and they do not give it to you. And I don't know. There's a part of me that was like, that makes sense. People are craving that. They don't realize they're craving it, but they're craving that. Yeah. And then, you know, but Bill was like, people are not going to do this. People are not into this. They still want to like their phone so they can take pictures, so they can Instagram, so they can do whatever. So what do you think?
So I could go either way on this one. So the restaurants and cafes, I'm totally on board with. There is nothing that drives me crazy more than sitting across from the table with somebody and having them on their phone. So I'm okay with that one. But from like a vacation spot perspective, we go, of course, Lady Camp. You're discouraged from using your phone.
Right.
And then me and my mom go to a wellness retreat every year. I shouldn't call it a retreat. It is a total luxurious spa outing. They don't forbid it, and Wi-Fi is available, but use of devices are discouraged. So, like, I feel like I really enjoy that, and it's nice to kind of just like disconnect. But then, like, when I want to make sure that my family can get a hold of me if they need to, or I don't know, I can.
So, like, if you went somewhere and they were like, you are so remote that there is no Wi-Fi and you can't talk to anyone until you leave except the person you're here with.
See, that wouldn't work. I need the option. I need to know that, like, people can get a hold of me if they need to.
Well, they sound like an owl with a letter, like in Harry Potter.
All right, fine. If I'm at Hogwarts, I will give my cell phone. But other than that, no, it's like, I'm not in school. I don't need somebody to enforce me not using my phone, but an opportunity to disconnect on my own terms, I'm 100% okay with.
What if there was like a thing? So say you were at a hotel and from 2 to 4 every day, they took your phone.
No, see, again, it's like, it's the lack of choice.
Okay.
I would like being encouraged to disconnect, but somebody saying, I don't think you'll actually disconnect, so I'm going to take away the option, feels a little,
Invasive,
yeah.
See, it's interesting because I think the thought of it is like, it gives me pure anxiety immediately, but I think you are really good at disconnecting when you want to disconnect. Like, we've talked about this like in the sleep episode, mm-hmm. where you put your phone down at some point in time, you make the choice to put your phone down and you go to bed. And even if you're awake, you're not going to look at your phone. Yeah. Unless I call you 3 times. But
You know, if, I think your example was if you were on fire, I'd say call somebody closer because I probably can't do much. But yes, I do. I love disconnecting because I feel so often just absolutely connected to my phone. I even wear my Apple Watch all the time, which, you know, I'll try not to wear that on the weekends. But at the same time, so maybe I'm coming at it from a different perspective where I don't need somebody to take away from my phone for me not to be on it.
But and
I do. I like the idea of being disconnected, but I don't want somebody to force it on me.
Yeah. And I think the only way I'll do it is if someone forces it on me. Because
question for you. Will you give up your phone when we're at Lady Camp this year?
No.
I didn't think so.
Pry it out of my cold, lifeless hands. No.
All right, I'm going to take it for 2 hours a day.
No, I didn't sign up for that.
We'll see.
So the next one is really interesting to me, especially since I had a New Year's resolution around self-care. But self-care, I think we're going to start to see as less of a luxury, but more of a necessity. And so, like, I'm not talking about, you know, face masks and spas and, like, that type of thing, but, and, you know, pure luxury and pampering yourself. Like, I'm talking about, like, doing whatever you need to do that keeps your mind and your body in check. Like, what keeps you sane and not hating your day to day? So if it's like yoga or journaling or reading, like I love to read, like whatever it is that you need, making sure you get it in and making that as much of a priority as like making sure you drink enough water during the day.
I love this one. I do hope this is a trend in 2018 because it's something, like you said, you're definitely hoping to be more mindful of this year. It's something that's been on my mind a lot and how I can incorporate that. So I love this one. I do hope this is a trend.
Me too. And I think that, and I feel like this could be a whole episode by itself, but I think especially as moms, I think as women, period, but especially as moms, there's just so much guilt, I feel like, associated with taking time for yourself. And I want that to stop. I want it to be about, like, you can be a good mom and still make sure you have that hour to yourself a day.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So I think that'll be an interesting one to watch and see, I don't know, more people really making themselves a priority. I hope, right? Like, who knows?
I think that might even be a good full episode. We should talk a little bit more about self-care and like what I would be interested to know how self-care and like sort of the guilt that surrounds it is different for a working mom versus a stay-at-home mom, because I think the guilt would be there either way, but it would take on sort of a different form. And I'd be interested to kind of dive into that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So the last one here under mind and body actually was mentioned by the ladies of the Home Hour in one of their trend episodes recently, but it's wabi-sabi.
Ooh, it sounds cool.
Have you heard this yet?
No, what is it?
So I think it goes back to Zen Buddhism, and I feel like I heard about wabi-sabi like a million years ago, and then it like died off, but it never really died off because it's been a thing for like a million years. But it's basically all around like embracing imperfection and like finding gratitude in really simple things. So I wrote down like some examples of wabi-sabi because I know that's a little bit obscure what I just said. So it'll be like your favorite mug that has a little chip in it, or like a torrential downpour at Lady Camp, right? Because we're having the we're having like the best time, but everything around us is so imperfect.
Okay. And sort of finding the joy in the imperfections.
Yes, totally.
Oh, I love that.
Totally. And I think that there is like something around self-care that like goes into that as well, because we all want to be perfect, and some of us more so than others, and some people are great at going with the flow. I am not. But just like being able to say like, this is still great, or this is good enough, or like, my kids don't match, but they're happy. You know what I mean? Like, they picked their outfits today and they look crazy and it's giving me a panic attack, but like, they're that so is happy.
That's Larissa speaking her truth right now. She literally says that to me all the time. She's like, don't judge me. She picked out her own outfit. And I was like, I wasn't. But no, I love this one. And I feel like, what is it? Wabi-sabi?
Wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi. It plays a big role in, this is probably why the Home Hour talked about it, in interior design. Like, yeah. All of that farmhouse chic, Joanna Gaines stuff is all about those mismatched, kind of imperfect farmhouse style.
Definitely.
So it's kind of cool. I like that one.
Yeah.
Wabi-sabi. I'm Wabi-sabi. Using that.
All right. So let's move over to beauty. So I think the biggest thing, and I think we all see this, is like green beauty is going to continue to boom. Mm-hmm. Like I'm now seeing, like, I know on my Larissa Explains It All page, like I've been posting like company after company that are like big companies now buying smaller, like natural brands. And I think people are just really pivoting in that way. They're realizing it's important to people. They're realizing it's affecting health. And
question on that. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. See, this is what happens when we can't see each other. I don't know if I'm interrupting you. no, I'm sorry. So question, if a big company buys like a small green beauty company, have you found that they're maintaining the integrity of their ingredients?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It's really a toss up. And I think it's kind of, I think it depends what their intentions are and why they're buying it, right? Like, if somebody is buying up another company because it's super popular and everyone's buying it, and it's truly from a monetary aspect, eventually they're probably going to say, you know what, that really all natural ingredient could probably be cheaper. And how do we get mm-hmm. it cheaper? And then you start to see some of the ingredients change, and it happens. And then there's some companies that are strategically buying these natural companies because they themselves don't want to be seen as that company loaded with X, Y, and Z. They're starting to alter their existing products to be more natural, and they want to be associated with a natural brand. And so awesome. They're buying it for the right reasons. And most of the time they do keep the integrity of the company, and you just kind of never know. And so, you know, my advice whenever I've posted a lot of these things is kind of, you know, don't stop buying it. Don't boycott the company. That's not the thing to do. If you enjoy it, keep buying it. And every time you re-up on that product, just flip it over and just see if it looks different to you. Or like, keep your old bottle of whatever it is and just hold it right up to the new one and just see, like, eyeball it. Even if you don't want to like look up what all the ingredients are, just eyeball it and see if it looks different to you, and then maybe look up what's different.
That's great advice.
So the other one, and I know you've used this, is like, collagen is everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I think we just talked about that one. Both collagen peptides and collagen, like, supplements.
Yes.
Be everywhere. Great for your hair, skin, and nails.
And your gut, actually. Like, it's super good for your digestion. So it's kind of like, it's one of those, like, no-brainer things where you're like, collagen keeps me young and beautiful and keeps my skin good and my hair shiny and my nails growing. So, and it helps with my digestion on the side, right? So, like, it's one of those things, like,
why not?
Yeah. And so people are adopting it more. So they're getting the peptides, and they're like putting it in coffees and yogurts and whatever to get their daily dose in. So we're going to continue to see that. And I'm curious to see if people are going to get more creative with the ways that we can consume it.
Oh, interesting. Wait, what do you mean? Like, sort of in other things, like protein bars and things like that?
Yeah, like, I think you might start to see it there. One thing that I've done in the past is, like I think collagen is good for all ages. Like, you can buy a version of collagen that gelatins, so, like, the kind that we usually stick in our water or coffee or whatever, is soluble. I have a version that's also non-soluble, so I've made, like, kind of, like, jello-y fruit snacks for my kids. Using, like, you know, like a lemon and an orange and collagen. And they love them. And they're so natural and so good for you. So I'm interested to see if we start to kind of find more unique ways like that to incorporate it in, even though I feel like it's a very simple thing to just start incorporating into your diet. So the other thing I want to talk about in beauty is rollers. So microneedling was like...
Okay, so I've heard this, but what the heck is it?
So it's funny. I don't know a ton about it yet, but I will tell you, I actually, a couple days ago, bought my first derma roller. So this is what I know. There's kind of like two kinds. There's one with like shorter needles and one with longer needles. The longer needles are going to make you like bleed.
on your face.
Yeah. Don't you remember? What? Don't you remember like 2 years ago, Kim Kardashian posted this picture of like her face all bloody?
You remember? I don't follow Kim Kardashian at all.
I'm going to find you this picture. But God. It, I don't know. It's like a way to, I guess, like to get oxygen to your face, to massage your face, to exfoliate a little bit. Like, I think there's like a ton of things, and I'm not gonna pretend that like I know a ton about it, because I don't, but everyone has been swearing up and down about it. I'm not gonna do the bloody version, but I'm gonna do the kind with the shorter needles. Now, I mean, it does like poke your face, but it's not gonna cause like wounds like the longer micro needles, but I got it. I'm going to read more about it. I'm going to read how to use it, and I'm going to give it a shot. And then maybe I'll report back, because it's one of those things I keep hearing that's like, if you don't do this, you're nuts. It's like the best thing for your skin ever. And for me, I'm always like, well, I'm just going to try it. Like, cause I don't see any harm. The only harm I see is
making yourself bleed. You don't see any harm.
No, I'm going to get the not bloody version. The ones with the really short needles, called derma rolling, not micro needling.
Okay, you do it. You tell me if you look 20 years younger, and then I'll try it.
All right, I'm going to do it for a couple weeks. Maybe I'll take like a before and after, and then we'll talk about
that's
it.
That's a good idea.
So that was really big, and I think it's going to still be big. But the thing that I'm starting to see crop up is jade rollers and rose quartz rollers. So it's totally different, but a little bit the same. So it's a little roller that's got a jade stone on it or a rose quartz stone on it. And you kind of just like run it up and down your face. I'm motioning. You can't see me, but I'm totally motioning. and so both types of, so one is a stone, one is a crystal. It stays cold, I guess, naturally, and you can even put it in the fridge or freezer, but you're supposed to like rub it on your face for like a couple different reasons. One is because it's cold, it's supposed to like de-puff your skin. And the other thing is, you are supposed to use it, on top of whenever you put like your serums, like the stuff that's supposed to be doing great stuff to your face, to almost like push the product into your skin before, you know, you lay down and you end up wiping it off on your pillow, or, you know, it naturally evaporates, that whatever doesn't seep into your skin. So there's basically just like benefits around penetrating your products, benefits around like depuffing your skin. And it's also supposed to increase circulation because you're a little bit massaging your skin, like getting it a little bit more oxygen. Both of them have like, I don't know what I call these, like woo woo type of things about them too, like, you know, jade is supposed to harmonize and heal your energy and like all this kind of stuff. And
you can't see me, but I'm making a raised eyebrow skeptical face.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know about all that. And like I think the rose quartz is like gonna help with your anxiety and your stress, and I don't know. Like, I'm not really into crystals. I know some people are. But the other parts of it, like, that makes sense to me. Like, pushing the product further into your face, depuffing your face because you're putting something cold on it.
Yeah, the cold depuffing I totally get.
Yeah. That so makes sense to me. I don't know. Like, I've seen it at all different price points, too. I know specifically about the jade. People have said, like, to make sure that it's the actual natural stone. Because I think when you see it really cheap, it's usually glass that's dyed the right color.
Oh, that'd be so annoying to receive.
Right? I think my take is, like, if you're not getting it for the kind of extra spiritual properties, I don't know if it matters.
No.
It doesn't but seem I don't, like it would. But I don't know enough.
You can get other things. So I have, like, a de-puffing under-eye thing that's actually metal. And so it stays cold and applies serum underneath your eyes.
Okay.
And so I could, like, the cold and de-puffing, I'm on board with.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. So there you go. And then, you know, maybe derma rolling if I look 10 years younger.
Yes. And, you know, you don't bleed profusely.
I'm not going to bleed
profusely. So weird.
And then the last one under beauty that I thought was interesting that I'm skeptical about, but is pollution-fighting skincare. So...
Isn't that just face wash?
Well, no. So the whole thing is, so SPF is obviously, like, everywhere and recommended that you're wearing SPF, like, with your lotion, you know, every day, whether it's winter, summer, whatever. And that's fighting the sun. So now we're realizing that, like, we're exposed to so many free radicals every day. So, like, we're exposed to dust and smoke and, like, whatever pollutants are coming out of your car, and, like, especially if you live in a more urban place, like, there's just stuff everywhere. And so there's companies starting to come out with what they're calling pollution skincare. I have to tell you, I can't figure out what's pollution fighting about it. It seems like what they're doing is they're, like, cranking up the antioxidants that are in the creams. But I don't know if this is real or not. Like, I know it's going to be advertised and marketed. I don't know if it's real.
Hmm. Yeah, because I can't think of what would be different.
I think
it just sounds like to me like washing your skin.
Well, no, we're talking about, like, creams. Like, yeah, things that bizarre. You put on your face every day that's supposed to, like, create a barrier versus, like, washing your face at night.
Okay, that's weird. That one just seems a little... odd.
I don't know. And I think it's going to be really marketed to people who live in more urban areas, because there's actually studies now that are showing that people who live in urban areas are aging faster and
oh, really?
Get like brown spots on their face faster and things like that, because they're just exposed to more outside elements.
Interesting. So you'll be fine out there in the country.
Ha ha ha. Spoken by someone who's also a suburbanite now.
I am. I know. It's embarrassing.
So I want to close out talking about cocktails, because this one's interesting.
Yay!
I know. So healthy drinks are on the rise, of course. So, like, you know, going to a bar, they're now starting to, or will start to also incorporate, like, kombuchas, cold pressed juices, vinegars, which I think is really interesting. We're now seeing, like, activated charcoal going into cocktails.
Oh, that'd give it a beautiful color. What an interesting looking cocktail. Well, okay, you just inspired me. I'm making one.
There you go. And if you remember back to one of our other episodes where I was talking about activated charcoal, where it kind of will pull in and remove any unwanted toxins. Like, think about it. It's almost going to, like, as you're drinking the cocktail, it might, like, push out any impurities and maybe, I don't know, help with your hangover.
So maybe we should just add it to all of our cocktails and have just purely black cocktails from here on out. They might not photograph as well.
I mean...
maybe like, you should probably have a different color cocktail at some point.
Maybe. And the one I saw too, and I just, maybe you can picture this because you are our resident drink maker, but, like, I even saw avocados coming into cocktails. Which
is just like a blended one. I could see that. It would give it that nice creamy texture.
Maybe. I don't know. That seems so strange to me.
It does, but think about a blended cocktail. So something with blended ice in it, and then you just blend the avocado into it. It would just be, that mouthfeel would be incredible.
Maybe. Ooh,
you are giving me so many ideas.
Put that on your list. And then the second one I have, which is literally the opposite of the first, is the rise of anti-cocktail bars. So
I'm sorry, what?
Anti-cocktail bars. And it's not no cocktails. It's like, I'm sick of your frou-frou 15 ingredient cocktails. I'm sick of you wanting a sprig of 15 different things in it and having it be muddled with yellow peppers and kombucha or whatever.
Literally, I thought you meant like a bar that doesn't serve alcohol. And I was like, no. You mean like a coffee shop?
No. So it's just places that are like back to basics. And they're like, I'm not going to serve you anything fancy. You're going to have gin and tonic or whatever on the rocks. Like, that's our kind of bar. And it's not going to be some kind of like very fancy modern decor. It's going to be like back to basics, wood bar, that type of thing.
The dive. So your favorite dive bar. You've got to have one.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting, right? There's like the rise of like even more creative and health focus. And then there's like, give me my gin and tonic.
Yeah. And I could see like wanting one time and then being like, no, I just want to beer or something.
Yeah. I think most of the time, like, that type of stuff is a little bit novelty, right? Like, you don't sit there and drink your, I don't know, activated charcoal margarita all night.
I'm so excited about making that now, by the way. Well, there's a couple that I've noticed, just like from a trend perspective from cocktails. Yeah. Hey, I can add something to one of these.
Please do.
But these are more like 2017. I'm not sure about 2018 because I can't think that far ahead. But this past year, the couple of things that have really stuck out was, have you heard of the Crowler?
Yes. Yes, there's a bar near me that does Crowlers.
Crowlers are awesome. So essentially, if you guys aren't familiar, a growler is this sort of large glass container that you can take beer home from a brewery or a bar. I'm trying to think about how much is in it. I think it's three
pints.
It's
like two. Yeah, it's like
is it 2.5 pints? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And a crowler is essentially like a super large can that they can top off there. They add the beer and send you home with it. So it's draft beer that they put into this crowler. I wish I should have looked up sort of what the actual size is, but it's more than a typical can. It's more than even a pounder, but less than a growler. So it's just like a nice way to bring beer home. It's a little bit lower profile, and it's in a can, so it's just kind of neat. It's a recyclable product, so I love crowlers. I think it's just like a cool way to get beer home from a bar.
I've actually only ever seen it in one bar, and surprisingly. Oh, really? So because I think it's such a cool concept, because they like seal it up in front of you and everything. Like, I love it.
It's definitely catching on. I've seen it in a couple places, but I really like the concept.
Love it.
So the next one is Aperitivo.
What?
Do you know what aperitivo is?
Of course I don't. You know I don't.
So if you remember, like, I've served a couple of drinks that I've referred to as aperitif.
Nope.
As opposed to digestif. So an aperitif is meant to be served before dinner. It's typically the drink you have right before dinner, and it builds up appetite. And then a digestif is after dinner to help with aid digestion. But aperitivo is sort of like this new thing people are doing. Not new thing, obviously, it's been around forever, but it's sort of picking up steam here in the States. And it's people enjoying those aperitif-like cocktails right before dinner in like a non-happy hour fashion, and not sitting at dinner, but this specific time to enjoy an aperitif before they eat. Which I love, because I love all of the aperitifs we've been doing. So like a Royale is an example, the Negroni we had is an example. They tend to be, I can't even think of how to describe them, but they tend to have a liqueur or a liquor in them. I don't know.
Is this like a fancy way to say pregame?
Yes, it is. Yes, pregaming dinner, if that's a thing. Aperitivo, Larissa pre-games dinner.
And then, like, and then, because the only, like, I can't, I mean, you just list some. I couldn't think of any, like, before dinner drinks, but, like, I always think of, like, limoncello as, like, a drink to finish off a meal.
Yes, that's a good, like, example of a digestive. And you'd also see, like, sherry, brandy. Some people do whiskey as a digestive, but it tends to be something that's served in a smaller glass, probably a snifter. And it just tends to be a bit smaller. I'll do a digestive maybe coming up here soon so I can show you an example. But of course, we would be remiss in talking about 2017 drink trends without talking about rosé.
Hey.
I mean, it was the year
of rosé. Frosé.
Or frosé, yes.
I think rosé is going to live on in 2018. I think frosé is here to stay.
I'm bringing it back. I love rosé. I do not like sweet wines. I like a good dry rosé. Oh, rosé all day.
I don't know what sweet or dry is.
I'll call an aperitif pregame.
I'll pregame.
I'm never gonna forget that.
I'll pregame with some rosé. Hey.
Oh, you're so classy. I love it.
I know. Listen, not all of us can be as fancy as you.
You know. Hey.
Hey. So I think that is some of them are health trends for 2018.
But generally, that's why you shouldn't invite me. Then I bring cocktails and I make everything not healthy.
That's why I invite you. So guys, if you enjoy the show, we would really appreciate it if you would take a moment to give us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It's super important to, you know, be able to get others to find us with those reviews. If there's anything that you didn't catch during the show, it'll be in our show notes at crunchycocktailhour.com. And give us a follow on social media at Crunchy Cocktail Hour. We are everywhere. And maybe you'll see me rolling with my new derma roller on our Instagram story, fumbling and cutting myself.
You can look concerned along with me.
Oh, and you know what other thing I want to mention? We've started to see people recreating our cocktails and sending them the pictures our way. So if you've done that, please send a picture our way.
Yes, please.
You can do that on social media or email us at hello@crunchycocktailhour.com. We would love that. Yes. And of course, if you like what you hear, subscribe and never miss an episode. We'll see you guys next Friday.
Thanks, everyone.